up, people? Oh my God, it's been forever. Welcome back to The Brightness. I am your host, the Verborre Isaac Bright, coming to you live, straight and direct from the historic, non-euphoric West Adams district of La La Land. I am here with the most beautiful, most wonderful, most unbelievably brilliant light being of light beings, the little baby, the swishy smushy, the kissable of kissables. Oh, I love her with all my heart. Yofi, you want to say hello to the rest of the world? Yo! Best thing ever. Oh man. What's up, people? How you doing? It's been like a month or so. Yeah, I'm out a month. I know. I'm supposed to, I like to pump out like a couple of these a month, but you know, shit happens. A lot of things happened. I had every intention of getting one out in August, and even last week, but you know, things happen. I went down to San Diego for a couple of days, 2-3 days, my first vacation of any sort whatsoever. I think the first time I've actually been outside of Los Angeles since the whole Michigas started, since last February, the 2020. Yeah, I haven't left. I don't think I've left. Oh my God. And let me tell you, jeez, it was a completely different world down there in San Diego. I mean, I was at this beautiful little beach house of a friend of mine's. You could walk to the beach in 20 seconds. That is not an exaggeration. Pristine, gorgeous, beautiful weather. And just the vibe. The energy was just so relaxing and so not stressful. And I didn't think, I mean, yes, it was there was a presence of the plandemic, but it didn't infect and have this bombardment of my senses every moment that I was out and about. Like, it was just, yeah, there's this thing going on and you know, we're all doing what we can. And it just, I just felt like I could breathe for the first time. And like, yeah, some people were in masks, some people weren't. Most people, I would say, weren't. Some people went inside, you know, with some people didn't. Some people had signs, hey, we'd like you to do this. Some people, the best sign I saw, I think I almost cried when I saw it. I went to a pet shop and the sign outside said, masks optional, respect mandated. Oh, are you kidding me? Am I in, is this heaven? I went in there, I spent a shit ton of money. Like, just whatever you're going to tell me is good, I'm taking. I got this new freeze dried thing for the little baby and she loves it. And oh my God, I think this might be the first time in as long as I can remember. I got a little crush on the sales chick. Oh my God, what a cutie. She's like a little elf, like a little Lord of the Rings elf. A little skinnier than I like him, but woof, she was just, there was something about her. I just walked in, I saw her, she smiled, I was like, ah. And she smiled, cause I see her face. I saw her face, there's no pamper. That's girls with the pampers on, I'm not gonna, you know, the face is everything. It can go, believe me, I've seen them with the pampers on, they go to the table, take the pampers off. It can go to shit really quickly. Like, really quickly. Like, you know, it's that Tex Avery bit. I don't know if you know the Tex Avery cartoons where, you know, it's the voluptuous woman and she's got a veil on and she may be a belly dancer or whatever she is. And, you know, all the cartoons, the cartoon wolves or whomever it might be, Chili Willy, whoever, you know, they get all goo goo gaga about her and then she takes her veil off and it's like, that's what some of these situations are. But she was a cutie and, you know, it's been so long. I don't know what the hell to do about it. It's just like, I was like sitting at the chessboard of, you know, I was flirting. There was definitely some flirtation going on. I definitely felt it. But I was at the chessboard of being a guy that, you know, wants to ask a girl out. And I saw the pieces. I just didn't know which fucking piece to use. I was like, do I go with the pawn? Do I do this gambit? Do I do the queen's gambit? Do I do the rook, the knight? Look, what the hell am I supposed to play here? And then, you know, I ended up doing nothing. I just walked out the store in a daze. Like, I know I was supposed to do something there. It's just, it's been so long. I mean, back in my pickup artist days, forget it. I would have had something. See, I have to remember this. This is for everybody out there. You know, my credo when I was out and about and active, like I would get numbers, like 5 numbers a day or sometimes even more. And my thing was 3 seconds. That's a 3 second rule. Like you see somebody, you get that little twinge or something. You're like, ooh, what's going on there? Or there's something that kind of grips you. You got 3 seconds to do something. You don't do something in 3 seconds, it's over. So I would just, you know, I would have that muscle train. Like I just see something and I just, you know, I just like, it's like improv. You just have to go with it. Like whatever comes out of your mouth and you just take it from there. And it works pretty well. And that, I had my 3 seconds, but it turned into 33 minutes. And then I was out of the situation. But my God, San Diego is so beautiful. And you come back here and you just feel it. You just feel this compression. You feel this angst, there's this pull. I don't know if I've said this before. It's just this weight on the city. It's just really, it's not good. And it's not just the homeless situation. It's just the basic energy. I mean, I am very much an empath and I just feel it. And I just, it's I don't want to say it's toxic, but it's really just so heavy. And it's just, the whole point of one of the great things about why I live here is, you know, to support myself as a creative being. I've come here to pursue that for my purpose in life is, you know, I've chosen here to pursue it because New York was just not happening. I don't think I still would want to be in New York, especially not now. Oh my God. But you come here and that's why you want to be here. And I don't see how people are being creative. It is this environment is not conducive to a creative environment. I don't say, you know, they're mandating jabs on sets now. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? How is that okay? How are you okay with the artists? I feel like the community is okay with it. I haven't seen a real big pushback. I mean, I know several people that have said this is not okay, but for the most part, everybody I know that's in the industry has just kind of gone along with it reluctantly, not happy about it, complaining about it, but you know, hey, this is, you know, they're professionals. I guess this is their way of thinking I have to act like a professional. But I under no circumstances would ever, under any circumstances, have that as a condition of my employment to be an artist, to be an actor. I was, I'm in a theater group out here, just a little small theater group. We've been rehearsing this play for weeks, months, years, actually years. And I think they started actually doing it. And the head of the theater company, he's a pretty famous actor, you know, he's done a lot. I love him to death. I love the people there. It's a great little space, you know, and I really enjoyed kind of working my chops out and keeping that muscle going. And he asked me, he's like, hey, we're starting to do the show and you know, you've rehearsed it so long, you should come and do it. And I noticed for some of the shows that they had going there, because I'm on their social media page, that a condition for entry was you have to be jabbed to enter the theater. Yeah, that's a no. That is a big fucking no. And I told him, I'm like, well, listen, my friend, I'm not jabbed. I'm never going to be jabbed. And I don't wear masks and I don't put Pampers on my face. So if there's no, that demand is not a part of the condition of me being a part of your theater group again, then I will happily, most lovingly come back and I feel like I should have every right to perform this show because I rehearsed it for so many long weeks and years. And I was basically told, well, we'll see when we can see you. So that's that. I was invited to a film premiere. Everybody had to be pampered up. Yeah. Nope. Can't do it. You know, it's like, this is not okay. I'm not okay with this approach in Los Angeles. It's just not working for me. And I'm, you know, I'm still holding out faith. I trust that things are shifting. I feel like there's a lot of amazing things that are going to be happening in the world that's going to really transform how we are looking at things in the world. So it's, you know, I'm gritting my teeth through it and I'm breathing through it, but man, it's been a mother. I'm grateful that I'm pretty much a homebody anyway. So I, you know, my life hasn't changed much, but my God. So yeah, I went to San Diego. That was wonderful. My little elf. Oh, my little cute little elf. I'm going to have to get back there. And then, my mom was here for a week. So that kind of took me out of the whole pod game. And, that's a whole situation. Love her to death. You know, that's my mom, a cute little Jewish mom from Brooklyn. And, you know, that's, you know, she stayed here with me and she didn't have a car because, you know, renting a car is a pain in the ass right now. So we were basically in each other's existence for a week straight. You know, that your family, it's like, you know, they don't press your buttons. When you're around your family, you are a button. You're a walking button. You're a big, huge, throbbing red button that bumps into your mom, who's also a button. And that's just what happens. It just, you're just pressing your buttons all day long. Like, you just feel it. It was really lovely seeing her. I can't realize I haven't seen her in 2 years. So she's, you know, she was like, look, I haven't seen you in 2 years. Coming to LA, going to come for a week, and that's the end of it. I really didn't have a say in the matter. I was just like, didn't matter what I was doing. It was just, you're coming here for a week, okay. And for the most part, it was really wonderful. But, you know, of course, there had to be something that set her off and drove her off the deep end a bit. And it was, of course, Hurricane Ida that was hitting New York. And, you know, for the entire time that she was here, starting Thursday, and she was leaving, you know, she came here, I think, Tuesday, till Tuesday, but starting Thursday when the hurricane was on its way, she was going back Tuesday morning. Of course, all she did the entire weekend was check the weather report and stress and obsess over when the hurricane's coming, how it's coming. There's going to be flooding. Am I going to get car service? That was a big thing. I mean, there's not going to be car service. She's going to have to pay through the nose to get out of the airport, and it's going to take hours and all this stuff. And my car service and the hurricane is coming and it's going to be flooding. And just, we just went on and on and on and on. Every 2 minutes, every 15 minutes, the storm. And I'm just like, mom, it's Thursday. There's nothing. She's calling the airline. Can I change my flight? How much is it going to cost to change my flight? Can I get it to the next day? And what, you know, and looking at the updates and then seeing, you know, the videos and all the other stuff. And I'm just like, mom, there's nothing you can do about it. It's Thursday. It's Friday. There's nothing you can do. It's weather. Shit happens. Could be completely different by the time you fly out. And, you know, she couldn't let go. You're like, well, yeah, I don't know. There's going to be people. I remember when there was a storm when I lived in Newark, and, you know, there was somebody on the hood of a car, and my dad had to call to get him out. I mean, maybe he's still there. I mean, who's going to know about anything with these floods? It could be flooding right now, and I still have my things in storage, and I'm going to get my stuff out of storage. You know, your records are still in your storage, and who's going to get those out? And maybe those will be ruined. And you know, she just went on and on and on. Am I studio space? Am I this? Am I that? And this? And, you know, now Orlando's not going to help me move my stuff because I'm trying to get a new place. It just went on and on and on and on and on and on about every single little thing. She just projected every single worry, you know. And I just had to sit with her at the very end before she left. And we had a nice little chat, actually. And we talked about, you know, the uselessness of worrying. I think I really actually got to her about being positive and, how worrying is only a function and an energy that you're putting out there to create the situations that you do not want. And to create these kind of timelines that you're actually attaching yourself and creating from your thought energy, a timeline that you do not wish to have, but that you're creating it from your own fear and your own anxiety and out of nothing for no reason. There's nothing to, you know, like, it's pointless. I've not once been worried about any of this shit that's been going on for the past year and a half. Not once. I'm worried about motherfuckers coming to my door, banging on it, knock, knock, knock. Hey, we're going to inject this experimental piece of poison into your system. That got me a little on edge. But as far as all this other stuff, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Not once. What am I going to do about it? All I can do is take care of myself, and I take care of myself pretty damn well. That's the one thing I will pride myself on. I am one healthy ass MOFO. So, you know, the stressing out over stuff. People, if you're stressing out over stuff, that's the killer. That's the ager. That's going to age you. That's going to take away your years. That's going to take away your youth. That's going to take you away from the life you want to live. You know, you're giving your energy to something that is not of you. It's outside of your circumference of influence. All you can do is just focus on what's right in front of you. And what's right in front of you is perfect and beautiful and so much to be grateful for every day. Just be grateful for the million things that you have in your life to be grateful for. And I'm trying to tell her, like, Mom, you know, like, you have so much to be grateful for. You have this amazing place. You're right near your grandkids and your granddaughter, and you have friends, and you have this vibrant life in Brooklyn, and you've got a business that you're working on, and you're expressing your passion, and you're flying on flights to your son in LA, and he's got this great place, and it's beautiful out, and we went to this beautiful, like, there's all these great things that you have. You're healthy. Yofi's licking you all the time. She loves you. Like, what else do you want from life? That's all that's the core of life right there. Everything else is bullshit. Everything else is just, you know, you're just finding things to get, your brain is just finding things to latch onto so it feels important that it's got a purpose. You know, shut it up. There's no need for it. And of course, by the end, you know, what happened? Tuesday, of course, the flight was early. She got back to New York early. It was not raining when she got back. She got a car service within minutes, of course. She got home early, texted me early. It didn't rain for a day. And then, of course, everything went to shit, I think, 2 days later. And while everybody in New York is rowing their boats down Fifth Avenue and swimming around Prospect Park, because Mom lives in Park Slope, it's on a hill, so she didn't get hit at all. But I'm sure what she was doing was calling car service to check in about her flight in February, if it was going to be icy conditions and if they would be able to get to her on time and get her to the airport. Oh, Mom. We love them. My man. Man, oh, man. They really get you sometimes, don't they? So, yeah, my mom and I made a great time, pretty much, for the most part. She made a point of saying, I'm not going to start arguing with you and, you know, have in-depth discussions about the Jabberwocky. I think we talked about it for like a couple of seconds, and then, you know, my behavior out in the world was what it was. Well, I think the only thing I told her is, you know, I mean, I just kept asking her, why in God's name would I take this thing? Look, I don't take aspirin. I don't take anything. I get a headache. I deal with it, or I do other things. But the last thing I'm going to do is take, I don't take aspirin. I don't go to Rite Aid. I haven't been to a doctor, and I have a naturopathic doctor. She's amazing, but I haven't seen her in 13, 14, maybe 15 years. I don't take anything. And you want me to put this crap, disgustingness, aborted fetal cells, synthetic nanolipids, nanoparticles, ferritin, all the other garbage. You want me to put this in my, for what? I don't get sick. I can't remember the last time I got sick. I got sick for 2-3 days, cause I did an ozone therapy session that I shouldn't have done. And I did it for too long. But that's because I was doing ozone therapy. It wasn't because I picked up anything. I just took too much ozone in my lungs and I couldn't breathe. I could breathe, but it was just like blah. But that's a reaction to a treatment that's very good for you. But that's the last time I've been sick. I don't remember the last time I was sick before that. I had food poisoning for a day back in 2015. I don't get sick. Why in God's name would I put anything in my body to protect me from what? What's the fucking point? How dare you? who in their right mind, who's an all organic, healthy being that eats holistically and doesn't drink, smoke, do drugs, eats all their own food, knows every single ingredient on the planet, why would any of these people, and there's a lot of us out there, why would any of us put anything like that in our system? And now you can't, I can't work, I can't go to a Yankee game, I can't act, I can't do my art because of you complete nitwits. Are you out of your mind? You people have lost your minds. You're in a mass delusion. Jesus Christmas. I read this. I have so much. I don't want to do any of it. But here's the idiot moment of the week, the month. I read something. A doctor came out and said, you know, these people, they died in the hospital, attributed it to whatever the hell you think this is. And they said if they weren't jabbed, it would have been worse. How could it get any worse than death? Thank God they had this experimental injection in their system, or my God, it really could have turned for it. It took a bad turn. They died. They died. It could have been worse. I guess they could have spontaneously combusted. I guess they could have melted into a puddle of biology. Maybe if they had not taken the jab, a harpy would have descended from the sky and grabbed them with her talons. And as she took off into the night, her heaving bosom glistening in the moonlight, her prey would have been like, oh, I should have taken the jab, or I wouldn't be in your talons right now, onto my impending doom. Oh, this fucking world's gone mad, and they call me the crazy one. Oh, it could have been worse. Oh, for God's sake. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. It's so ridiculous. It's hilarious and tragic and makes you want to cry. And I don't even, I hope everyone out there, is finding places to express love and kindness and generosity and compassion to each other. I hope you're finding that in this world right now. It's what we need. It's really what we need more than anything. And if you're belligerent and you're badgering people with this nonsense and you're on this whole crusade to jab people up, and, you know, my friend asked me the other day, she said, you know, cause all the sets now, Sean Penn, one of the greatest actors of our generation and one of the, he's mandating everybody needs to get jabbed to work on his set of his TV show. And now you're seeing, sets around, Universal's mandating it. Netflix is now mandating it. And, you know, they're mandating the jab. Poor Bob Odenkirk just took the jab 2 days later. He's, heart condition, passed out on set, and now he's in the hospital strictly because of the jab. That's no secret right there. A friend of mine asked me, she said, you know, listen, if somebody came and they offered you a role, one of your dream roles, and, you know, lead in a series, and, you know, you had to get jabbed, would you do it? Fucking no. No way. Not in a million fucking years. There is nothing you could give me. There is nothing you could offer me. And I've thought about this. Maybe if you guaranteed me Yofi to live to 100, and maybe if you said, hey, there's a way that, you know, we could get you through a wormhole that'll get you to a place where Prince is incarnated in a different dimension and he's having a concert for that's going to go on for like a couple years straight. Those are the two things. So Yofi 100 years, Prince in an alternate dimension, a concert that lasts several years, maybe a decade. That's about it. Because health is all we have in this world. It's really, it's our birthright. It's our right. It's what allows us to experience the life we wish to live. You know, my father passed that on to me really, really early on. He's like, you know, if you don't have health, you have nothing. And this madness, this twisting, this diabolical sense of what health is not health. We've not had health in this country for decades. We don't have a healthcare system. We have a sick care system. So my health is the most important thing I have in my life. I value it above every and anything. And there is no way I will chance that in any way, shape, or form to put this fucking thing, this poison into my system and to take a chance whether it's a saline shot or not. So no. So if NBC or Netflix or Amazon or HBO or whoever wants to show up at my door and offer me a multi-year contract to be a series regular and they say, just make sure you get jabbed, I'd respectfully say no. I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Let me know when that's not a requirement. Sad, but true. All right, let's move on.
So I don't know if you've, if you're not in the LA area, or maybe even if you are in the LA area, it's kind of got swept under the rug. A major news story, as far as I'm concerned, is that an incident went down at Wee Spa in Koreatown. An amazing spa. I've been there numerous times. It's open 24 hours. It's a huge complex on Wilshire Boulevard. Beautiful inside. All these amazing spa rooms and different sweat areas, and it, you can just sit there all night if you want. And the great thing, I used to go there a lot years ago. I didn't really go there recently, but they used to have this thing. I don't know if they still do, but it would be like $10 or $15 on Tuesday nights, and you could just that's all you needed to pay, and you could just stay there the entire night. Just go into the sweat rooms and dunk yourself. I mean, it was awesome. People were just laying around in their robes and flopping. They had food. It was great. So an incident happened at Wee Spa, which, you know, I was like, oh man, not Wee Spa. So a guy, a girl, a he, I don't know, I know, I'm a racist, I'm a bigot, I'm a white supremacist, a right-wing Nazi, I got it. Whatever he, she wanted to be, decided to say, okay, I'm a woman, fully got all the biological parts, and he walked into the women's bathroom or women's changing room. So now he's a she, naked, in the women's area, his junk's flopping all around and exposed himself, apparently had a half chub, which means like half almost an erection. And women were offended by it. They were like, oh my God. And apparently there were girls in the bathroom, little girls. And so he's exposing himself to little girls. You okay with this? I sure as hell am not. So the women go out and complain, and the people at their desk are like, yeah, that's the way it is. He identifies as a woman. That's the end of that. And so they did nothing about it. Days later, or maybe the next day, whomever, I'm not sure, they decided to stage a protest. Not a huge protest. There was like maybe a dozen, 20 people out there outside of Wee Spa saying, hey, this is not okay. Can't have our kids, or I don't want to be exposed to male genitalia if I'm in the women's changing room. And they were summarily attacked by Antifa degenerates, a bunch of white kids in black uniforms, hipsters, in their 20s, definitely all in their 20s, yelling and screaming. They were beaten down, literally beaten down. A Latino couple was attacked and shoved. A kid in his 20s was kicked on the ground. Some priest totaling, you know, a Jesus sign. And yeah, okay, fine, Jesus people, great. Well, he was attacked. No police, no nothing. No response whatsoever. Nobody was arrested. And that's okay. They were deemed to be a transphobic protest. Now look. Okay. So all the years that I've been on this planet, the one holiest of holies, there's the holiest of holies in Jerusalem, and right underneath that is the women's bathroom. As a guy, you don't go in the women's bathroom. You never go in the women's bathroom. It's a magical place. You know, you just you figure it's going to be like Willy Wonka when he opens up the chocolate factory, and instead of like candy, it's just like toiletries and perfumes and spritzes and all this kind of magical stuff that goes on and past the little vestibule. And look, you know. Where was the, you could put a sign, have a, hey, by the way, you know, we might have some biological males who identify as women flopping their junk around. There was no warning. There was no notice. There was nothing. Just like, oh, I'm a chick. All right. Well, in you go. That's not okay. Okay. That's not okay. I mean, I understand, like, if you come out of it, I know I'm a right-wing, horrible, disgusting piece of shit, QAnon, Nazi, baby eater, whatever you want to call me. Fine. But that's still not okay. There needs to be some sort of, deliberation on this. We need to talk this out a little bit before we just start allowing, cause here's the thing. I mean, I know that in the prison system, trans are being transferred out of prisons because I'm sure, and that's a great thing. God bless them. They need to be transferred out of the male prisons because I'm sure they're being bullied and harassed and horrible things are being done to them. But that's not all that's being transferred out. Many others who are saying, oh, now I'm a woman, they're being transferred out also. Is there no even thought about saying, hey, maybe there's somebody out there who is not trans at all that's just going to go into the woman's bathroom just because they say, I identify as a woman? Are we not having perverts that might say, hey, I'm going to go into the woman's bathroom and I'm a woman? Is all you need to do is maybe put some bright neon makeup on your face, put your hair in a twisty, put a barrette in your hair, little, tutu, some combat boots. I'm trans. And you just get to walk in the women's bathroom. Maybe a guy who's stalking a girl, I'm trans, walks into the women's bathroom. Somebody who's had a fight with his girlfriend. Girlfriend runs to the bathroom, says, oh, it's okay, I'm trans, I'm gonna go, I identify as a woman, runs into the bathroom. We have no, criteria here. It's just, I say who I am and that's it. I think we're overcorrecting. I think we're having an overcorrection. I understand the need to be wanting to feel accepted and want to be, honored for who you are. But we just don't, destroy and obliterate our social mores and customs that we're used to overnight just so that you can feel better about yourself. GK, there needs to be a little bit, we need to pull back a bit and maybe just talk this out. Or have some, again, a notice, a sign, maybe an area, maybe some sort of, you sign terms and conditions out the wazoo when you go anywhere. So maybe there needs to be, hey, terms and conditions, if you're a biological male and you identify as a woman, that's perfectly great. You want to go in the women's bathroom, fine, but maybe you don't get to expose yourself. Maybe you need to be post-op to go into the women's bathroom. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I sure as hell don't have the answers. I don't know what those could be, but I know there needs to be a little bit more besides, if you're a parent and you don't want your kids being exposed to male genitalia or female genitalia, whatever the hell it is, that's your right. As a woman, I don't know, people are religious. That's a lot to them. That makes it rough for the other guys in the world. It's like now all men suck even more or women or whatever, We need to think about this for a second, people. You just can't be running willy-nilly into the bathrooms with your junk at half-mast, running around with girls. That's not okay. It's not all fucking gay. Let me tell you something. There was a sign towards the men's locker room or changing area that said, hey, by the way, women who identify as men with all their women parts might be entering the male bathroom, so just be sure to accept them and love them and be inclusive and respect them for who they are, as women being men. There would be a fucking line around the block to get into that gym, spa, or whatever. You telling me a girl? How that never happens? Have you ever seen that? A hot babe, a beautiful hot woman babe, beautiful gorgeous woman who says, I'm a dude, walk into a men's bathroom? Does that ever happen? No! Not at all! If that happened once, what do you think would happen? You think she'd be accepted? Oh, fuck yeah. Everybody be like, what's up, bro? How you doing, bro? Looking good, bro. Wanna lift, bro? Bro, you wanna lift? Hey, bro, you looking for a cock? I got plenty to spare over here, bro. I'm just kidding, bro. I'm just kidding. Look at those things. Oh, yeah. We'd accept the hell. They would never leave the locker room. They would just be sitting there. That never happens, does it? No, it never happens. So is the other side. Let me ask you, here's another question I'm curious about. So let's say I'm in the men's bathroom and a hot, beautiful, gorgeous woman like Victoria's Secret, well, no, not Victoria's Secret. That's gone to shit. I don't know what the hell happened there. So just a beautiful, beautiful girl walks in. She's like, I'm a dude. My name's Marvin. And I fall for Marvin. Okay. And by the grace of God, I start dating Marvin. Does that make me gay? She's a beautiful, biological, everything's still there, absolutely wonderful. So now am I in a gay relationship? Because I'm dating a woman who identifies as a man, but she's totally just still a woman. Am I gay? Have I officially come out? Like if I'm at a party, be like, hey, everybody, I want to let you know, I'm officially out, I'm gay. It's like, we knew it all along, Isaac. It's about time. Thank God. Oh, my God. All these years we thought you were gay, and now it's finally come to the point where you're admitting it. I'm like, yeah, I want you to meet Marvin. And Marvin shows up. She's fucking this hot yoga teacher looking piece of ass. Fucking gorgeous tush jiggling. This is my dude, Marvin. I am homo like a motherfucker. We're setting up for our gay wedding. Pride. Let me tell you, I'll be one prideful son of a bitch if I'm dating a dude chick, him, her, they, all of them, whoever, I'll call you whatever fuck you want me to call you. Want me to call you Marvin? Great. Let's go lift, Marvin. Fucking, hey man, it's hard out here. It's hard out here trying to get a date, man. If somebody wants to be Marvin, if your name is Christiana or Liliana or Emily or Jenny Sue, you want to come in and be Marvin in the male bathroom, and that's the only way I'm going to meet girls, shit. Bring it on. All right, well, it's time to bring on our guest. I'm very excited about this one. Oh, she's a doozy. An anonymous guest, if you will, someone from within the health industry who has worked extensively and intricately with the PCR test, of which I've been railing against for the time immemorial, has got a really, you know, pointed point of view on what the hell has been going on with this thing. Again, she is anonymous because she has very a legitimate fear as to be demonized, attacked, taken out. For sure, I think, you know, she's within the Bay Area, so, you know, they're definitely over the top there. She doesn't want anybody, you know, coming in, taking away her business, whatever the hell it is. You know, San Francisco is definitely gone into Looney Tunesville. I don't think she's essentially in San Francisco, but still, that whole area in general. So I don't have a full name for her. I actually do have her full name, but I'm not going to be giving her full name. It's kind of like a payphone phone call, X-Files type of conversation that we're about to have here. So I'm going to bring her on, and I think you're going to be very interested to hear what she has to say about what's been happening with our little Testarunsky. And let's get on this phone call with the one and only Dina. Yeah. Okay. Well, I am very excited to have this brilliant guest on the show today. She is someone who I've heard of many, many times before. We have a mutual friend, and anytime I bring up a point or some sort of idea that I'm positing or something that might be something he might disagree with, he'll always go, well, Dina says. Now, I don't know if we want to give your name at the outset. So, we're putting that out there, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Dina's fine.
Dina. Okay, we can just say Dina. The anonymous, yeah, amazing mind that we're bringing on today. So, I feel like I just want to do a little brief intro, because just for my sake and for everybody that's been connected to my show for so long, one of the main points I've been harping on for so long, right from the beginning of this insanity that we've been experiencing as a collective, is the PCR test. And so I've always been saying how completely, it should not be used. It's not accurate. It has an amazing amount of flaws, on and on and on and on and on. So before I feel like we're finally coming to the apex and to the point where somebody's finally coming on to put the final stamp on the final kibosh. This is the deal. And so that's why I'm very excited to have you on. So if you will just, give us maybe a brief background. You spoke about your background briefly to me when we spoke the other day. So just to kind of give everybody an idea of, what you do and how you came to this.
Okay. I am currently a holistic practitioner. I'm a California licensed acupuncturist. But before my career as a holistic practitioner, I have a degree in biology, and one of my first jobs was a research associate specializing in PCR testing. So I've had about three to four years, basically streamlining PCR testing to sequence the human genome.
Which is amazing. that's quite. And what did you? What were the results of all of the sequencing and everything that you used the test for?
I don't even remember what year it was, but that was when the entire DNA human genome was actually decoded.
And right.
I was part of that research.
That's unbelievable. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. And so you had this background on the PCR.
Correct.
And then how were you... You were brought in as a part of the way to use it as an application for what was going on in the world for the past year plus. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say brought in, but I do have knowledge of how the PCR test works. I wouldn't even call it a test. It would be sequencing.
Right. And it was used mostly, it was mostly used on crime scenes.
Correct. That's what basically blew a lot of cold cases open, and they were able to close them. Basically, what PCR is used for, or what it has been used for primarily, is to take small fragments of DNA and quantify them to large amounts so that you can actually see the DNA copies.
Right. So right from the – which is a wonderful application of the test itself. So right from the get-go, if you're talking like February, March of last year, you started seeing that everybody was coming out with the PCR test as a way, as a diagnostic for what we've been going through. I don't even like to say its name, because it's like, you know, it's Voldemort. She shall not be named. And so what was your reaction when you say, wait a minute, they're using the PCR test for this whole nonsense?
Yeah, it just didn't make sense. Even the creator of PCR test, he's since died since COVID, but he was adamant about saying that the PCR test was only supposed to be used for diagnostics, not for testing parameters.
Or for detection of anything necessary.
Yes, correct.
So there...
Because basically...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
But basically what you're doing is just, you're literally taking a small, just like the most minuscule amount of DNA and just quantifying it to a point where you can actually measure it.
Right.
That is key to what PCR is. And so when this hit the scene as testing for a virus, that just didn't make any sense to me, because it was only a matter of cycles to test positive, because you're just taking something so small and you're making it 100-fold times stronger.
Or a million-fold stronger, depending on the cycle threshold count. Like, you go up to 40, and you can find anything in there. You could find
absolutely.
You could find some lost singles that Prince put out that he did, like you put up.
Yeah, right.
You could find anything. Yes. There's that hot dog from 1987 that you shouldn't have eaten, and all the other things, God knows what.
Yeah.
And also Herr Fauci also coming out and saying, you know, anything over 25 cycle threshold count, you basically can't rely upon it at
right.
all. So then it just begs the question. So then why were they using it?
I have no clue. I just don't even understand why. I mean, I don't know. It blows my mind, because the issue there is we are assuming one big thing. Even when you're using a PCR, you're assuming that you have the correct DNA sequence. Do they even have that?
Right. What is your thoughts? I'm very curious. What is your thoughts on the fact that they never actually isolated the thing that they're looking for?
Well, then that just blows everything to pieces, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, how are you testing for something that you don't even know what the hell it is?
Exactly. And so, and also the fact that they've come out, I just read this the other day, they've had apparently 59 different versions of the PCR in the past year and a half as well. How is that even possible? How do you have 59 different versions of the same test? Is it just because they're using different contrived samples?
Yeah. There are no standards from one lab to another. One lab can be running 25 cycles. Another one's going to be running 45. Another one over here. And it depends on the country. So everyone's setting parameters on different things. There's no set parameter. It blows my mind on how science is literally not science anymore.
Right. And is it even possible? I think you even said this too. It's not even possible to acquire what the lab is actually doing with your sample. They won't tell you. They have no disclosure as far as what cycle threshold count they're using. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people come back to me, and they've actually questioned, like, how many cycles or like, what is the actual quantification? They won't even give you the actual quantification, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. Any thoughts on why also, are you also curious as to why, I have my own thoughts, but to why they're swabbing so deeply in your nasal cavity at the blood-brain barrier between your brain and the nasal cavity?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. I stopped listening when they said PCR, to be honest with you, because it just doesn't make any sense. After that, it just started to just go downhill for me, because you can have A, B, or C in your nose and it still won't even be in your blood system.
Right. Wait, so.
Right.
So then what are they, why can't they just swab inside of your cheek? Versus,
that's what I want to know.
I have my own nefarious thoughts. I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like you ever see My Cousin Vinny?
Uh-huh.
And you know the lawyer in my Kunzavini, like the southern lawyer?
Yeah.
Swabbing in the cheek. Doesn't understand why.
Yeah. Literally.
No cycle just, threshold count. They don't disclose it. Like he's putting up his hands. You know that.
Yeah.
So then let me just ask you, then in your mind, are we just standing on a complete, not even a house of cards, but like a digital house of cards that isn't even a real house of cards? Like what are we standing on upon this whole thing that we've been enduring for the past year and a half? I mean, what is it then?
Beats me. I haven't even found the foundation yet.
So if there's no foundation, then what's it's based on nothing. Do you honestly feel like what do you feel is out there? Do you feel like there's a different strain of the common cold / flu? Do you think it's the flu? What do you think it is that we're dealing with here?
I have no idea. I know that number one, is it a virus? Yes, there's a virus. Is it, but we also have viruses viruses, bacteria, fungi, all of it. We have all of that in our environment. We're not ever going to be without these things. So yes, a virus exists. Does it kill people? Yes, in a certain population. Yeah, it kills people. Is it possible to combat it? Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. But we're looking at things every day, like cold and flu. And these are all viral-borne diseases. You know, I don't understand why there's so much fear. I really don't.
Well, it seems to me the fear has been just ramped up, and they've taken the fear and put it into its own PCR test and ramped up the cycle threshold count to fucking 1 million. It's like, look at this little thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically Chicken Little. The sky is fucking falling.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
No, please go by all means. We love a good expert of here and now. We love nothing like a good F word to just release some emotion. Keep that F word in you. It turns into cancer. That's what that is. Tumors are just F words that haven't been released properly, as far as I'm concerned. Just get that fuck out. Well, that's just absolutely bonkers, insane. I guess I'm just also curious as to is there something. Has anybody ever actually come out and said, this is how you should properly test for a viral load or anything else? Is there something that you would say, why aren't they using the blank blank test or the boom boom test? Or
no, it's Mr. Snuffleupagus. Everyone talks about it, but ain't no one ever seen it.
So there's nothing out there that actually is there's nothing out there that can actually quantify what the hell is in you, is what you're saying.
You still have to find some kind of construct. There's no certain construct. Well, they do say that they have found the construct because that's what they use to build the vaccine.
But they haven't, right? They said they're just basing it off of, again, contrived samples and the idea of what they think it is. They don't have it. They admit they don't have it. So then there's nothing in there that actually is that's there to combat something because they don't know what it is.
That's my thought too. I mean, like I said, it feels like it's Mr. Snuffleupagus to me. It feels like that. I mean, you talk about it as if it's real, but I haven't seen any proof.
Right. And you look at lawsuits that have been filed in, I believe it's Portugal, Germany, and Alberta in Canada, and they've actually gone to court and asked for subject matter evidence of the actual thing itself, and they weren't able to produce it.
Yeah, they can't.
So they're just barreling down this road of tyranny, and you look at what's happening in Australia, and again.
Oh my God.
Absolutely madness. And just again, it's based on nothing. Not that it's nothing. Like, we're not trying to take away from the fact that people have been really suffering from this and that there is something out there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of ideas as what could it be. I mean, I think there's an aspect of it that could be a bioweapon attack. I think something that could have been sprayed. I think that there's a mutation out there. I mean, who knows? And yes, lives have really been majorly impacted from this thing itself. But to the degree of where we've ended up right now from the beginning is not at all warranted. What in your expertise, if you had to kind of take a stance or if you took a look at this and you said, this is what I would have done, what would you have done, if anything at all?
I think that we know that there are people that have survived this virus, right?
Yep.
Why aren't we looking at these people that have survived the virus? Why aren't we looking at the people that have been exposed to the virus but never got a symptom?
Right.
That's where I think the focus should be, because, you know, you're looking at, there's something inside these people. Granted, maybe it's a great immune system, or it's something in their DNA that doesn't allow them to get this virus.
Right. My previous guest on the show, Yasha, who he got it or got whatever it was, and he was with his wife at the time. And in the same condominium the entire time, and nothing happened to her, and they had intimate relations and the whole shebango, and she was perfectly fine, you know? Yeah. So how is that possible?
So that's where I'm going. Like, why are we not focusing on the healthy people that have recovered from this and grabbed their antibodies? Why haven't we looked at their genome and see what is in their gene markers that are causing them to not come down with it? I mean, we have the fucking resources. I just don't understand why we're focusing on this.
This being just looking for a little piece of something that's a nothing that you don't even know what you're looking for.
Right. I mean, it's already been what, over a year, and they still haven't been able to produce a solid piece of DNA for this virus. Now they're saying that there's a Delta variant or whatever variant, Greek letter you choose.
And how could they tell? But then they're saying there are all these variants. Well, how can you claim there's a variant if they don't have a test to say that this is what it is from the very beginning?
Right. So where are they getting this variant if there's no test? They can only test for COVID. They won't tell you what variant you have. How do you know there's a variant? It's crazy.
Yeah, there's no test for any of the variants. There's no quantifiable statistical data that even says where it's coming from. They're just making up Greek letters out of the blue. Theta, Theta, Epsilon, Mu.
I have no idea where they are in the Greek alphabet now. I really don't.
Yeah, but I lost track. Greek alphabet. You don't know where she is. Same letters. Where are they coming from? Okay. Is there anybody else in your community that you speak to that might be even more closer to this whole approach that are having the same type of response or maybe even not even are backing it up to some degree? Or is it just across the board?
Ugh. Everyone's just all across the board. No one knows. And it just varies from person to person.
But are people that you know actually putting stock and faith in the test itself? Like, are they saying, oh, yeah, it's actually fine. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but I'm looking at them like, okay, you're crazy. I don't understand where you're coming from. I really don't.
And these are people in the health field.
Well, from the health field, all the professionals that I know that are doctors or nurses, they all subscribe to the general idea that the PCR is the gold standard for diagnosing COVID, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem, is that the people that are in the position to actually make a difference or actually stand up again. I mean, I know that there's, I've seen a lot of nurses and doctors come out against it. So, I don't think it's so uniform, but for sure it is a little troubling when you see people that should have a better sense or a better understanding of what goes into the actual mechanism of the test that they're still okay with it. So what if we were going to say, hey, let's go ahead and test for DNA or antibodies of people who have recovered? Because let's not just say people that have recovered it. Let's talk about 99.9% of the people that have recovered it. Is it just a matter of going in and taking some sample of their DNA to a degree, like a specific sample, or putting it through a certain different type of a test?
I think that you could probably get their blood and just run a test for antibodies. I mean, why aren't we using the antibodies from a recovered person?
And now even today, I think it is Herr Fauci saying that he has no real answer as to why those who have received natural immunity should be jabbed up, even though they're more of a prolonged immunity versus those who are getting jabbed and having almost zero immunity after a couple of months. It must be the antibodies. Then I'm saying it has to be the antibodies because they developed the proper antibodies. Would that not be, is it just too easy of a layup to even just assume that?
That's the question. I mean, like I said, no one's doing any testing on antibodies.
Nobody in the world?
I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything that came across my screen or anything about antibodies.
Right. That's amazing.
All you see is about vaccines and PCR testing and that's it. That's all you see. I don't see anything. In the beginning, I will say that there were some trials, clinical trials, about exposure to COVID positive patients, and I don't even remember the study anymore. But it was so long ago that they took healthy people and they exposed them to COVID positive patients, and none of them got sick.
That's crazy.
So why is that?
What is your view on the whole asymptomatic issue, which I've also been railing against, that healthy people cannot, if there are no symptoms, they can't be spreading something by you saying they just have it?
Yeah, I don't get that either. When in history has a healthy person ever spread a disease?
I don't know. I think our friend said, our mutual friend mentioned something back in the 70s that happened, or the 80s that happened, where people who were perfectly healthy were somehow spreading something. But is that even possible with something that's, when it comes to a virus? Like it seems to me the only way you spread it is if your immune system has been compromised to a degree where therefore you have something to give to somebody.
Right.
There's
exactly
that. I mean, I'm a freaking comedian and an actor, for God's sake. But even I, you know, I gotta have it. Can't give it to somebody if you don't. Now there's my hands going.
That's only because you use your brain.
Comedians use their brains. That's what we have to. We got to make those jokes work, or you know, we're gonna die up there. Got to use those brains. Those jokes are we're standing up there on a yarn, a single piece of yarn. Well, it just seems to me we're just all on the same page. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, we could just jump up and down and say, this thing doesn't work. This thing, you know, why are we doing this? You know, and you're looking at, especially in my industry, like everybody's being tested all the time and now they're mandating jabs for everybody to work on sets. And I just, you know, I don't know how to rewind the VHS to get to the point where we're still at, you know, hey, this is what we're using. I mean, what do we even have an option at this point? Is it just like, are we past the point of no return where we could say, hey, this thing is nonsense, it doesn't work, the test as it is?
I think they're going to just continue to do as they please. Unfortunately, I don't see the narrative changing. The only thing is where to go from here. Where can we go from here? And yes, there's a virus. Yes, people are dying from it, but you know, obviously the vaccines are ineffective because you're seeing breakthrough cases, and now they're calling for a booster shot. We gotta turn it around. Well, I mean, at some point we're gonna have to say, like, "Hey, this isn't working, guys," and somebody's gotta really take control and say, hey, maybe we should start trying a different route. I mean, how many times are you going to beat a dead horse?
Yeah, you look at Israel, the most vaccinated place in the entire planet, and they've got the most amount of whatever the cases are, but I think they're, you know, they're now not letting in Israelis who have been double jabbed into certain countries in Europe because they're afraid that they're going to spread the variants in them. And that seems to me what's happening is that the variants might just be in the jabs themselves.
Yep. That could be a very huge possibility because, again, I mean, the vaccines haven't been tested. There are no long-term studies. So we don't know what it's doing to literally the human population. We don't. We can just theorize all day long.
Anything else? Anything you'd like to speak on as far as this whole past year and a half is concerned? Anything we may not have touched upon? Or
yeah, there's one big thing that I do want people to know. There are other outlets of information rather than the mainstream media, and to find the resources that you need to make a informed decision, not just through mainstream media. And
yeah, 100%.
There's also a coalition of ER doctors that have came out, and they've been on the front lines from the beginning, and they are all saying that ivermectin is used prophylactically, you won't get this virus.
Yeah, that's the new thing. They're trying to demonize. Now they're trying to demonize that.
Yes, of course.
And you know why they're doing that.
Of course. Because they're going to promote a vaccine.
Right. And well, it's even more multi-layered than that, because if you have ivermectin out there that's working, okay, and it's an actual treatment, okay, well, guess that what that does? That immediately removes the emergency use authorization of all the jabs. And now everybody's liable. And now they've got to disclose everything. And you know, now it's just the lawsuits will just become pummeling and down their throats, because that's, you know, so many people have been injured from this thing. So that's why they have to demonize ivermectin. And you know, people have been talking about ivermectin for months. I've seen it all over the world. Everybody's just, you know, and now they're throwing people in jail because in Australia, they're throwing people in jail if you did start talking about ivermectin. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Ivermectin was used in the beginning and then it was abandoned.
It was used in India, right? I think that they used it exclusively in India. They were giving it to everybody for like 2 rupees or something. It was just like little bags of ivermectin. I'm serious. Like nobody in India got sick because everybody's like, yeah, take your ivermectin. And then, you know, everybody's like, ivermectin for you. Everybody get ivermectin, you know, and everybody was fine.
Yeah.
Same thing with Africa. Africa got hydroxychloroquine and everybody was fine in Africa. They've been using that for years for malaria.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The truth is out there. You just got to find it.
Yeah. You just kind of have to disconnect and unplug that matrix bolt of technology from the back of your neck and kind of just wander around a bit in the alternative space and maybe find something different to what you think might be out there.
And choose the blue pill.
Choose the blue pill. That's right. I just want to walk around with blue pills, everybody. It's hard. They don't want to. Run screaming.
They don't want to leave the matrix.
They don't. Maybe if I put the blue pill behind a mask, they might take it. Oh, God. Blue pill, mask. Why won't you take it? Okay. Well, Dina, lovely having you on. I feel like I think the science, if you will, is settled on PCR. It should not be used. It should never have been used. And we're standing upon a cloud, and the cloud is not real. It's not even a real cloud. It's a cardboard cloud. And I just wish people would, you know, listen to you and listen to everybody else out there that have been saying this. And, you know, it's just all we can do is just as people with brains and people that are critical thinkers, just like talk to each other about this and get the word out and hopefully, you know, start influencing more and more people where they start looking at things differently. That's all we can really do.
Yeah. Just stay informed and try to always question the narrative.
Amen. That's what we're doing over here at The Brightness.
There you go.
Huh? What do you mean? Huh? Question the narrative. Ivermectin, horse paste. It works. Okay. All right, Dina. Well, thank you so much. And lovely having you on. And I wish you lots of light and success in everything that you do out in the bay.
Thank you.
All right.
Wishing you wellness. And hopefully we're going to get through this madness.
We are, we are, we are. I have the utmost faith. Well, there you have it, people. There you have it. I mean, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to talk about this freaking test anymore. I mean, that's it. It's the end. This is the button. This is going to be the reference point. This is going to be the footnote. Free Brightness, season 3, episode, I think we're 6, 7, whatever it is. Check the Dina episode. Check the Anonymous Health stuff. Go to the one with the Wii Spa in it. The title, I'll tell you all you need to do. Just fast forward to wherever you want to go. Go to the freaking interview. There you go. There you got your info. There you got your bottom line. It's over. Okay? No more. I want to hear about the cases. I don't want to hear about any of this shit. Problem solved. This is not about cases and health. Okay? That's the thing we've, if you think it's about that, you've got a lot of research to do. Yes, and you need to go down the alternative methods that Ms. Dina has recommended for you so as you could get a better understanding as to what's been going on. Anyway, in lighter news, I hope my elf in San Diego is doing well. Oh, my little elf. Oh, my little pet shop elf. Why art thou so far away in sunny, pampalous climes? You hide behind the freeze-dried raw organ meats. Oh, I am but a cranky putz who dons purple in the morn and sips on elixirs made of golden angst as I rest on my cerulean balls. Hear me, pet shop elf. I will procure thy number next time. Or at least your Insta. I see your username as being an elf for a Jew. Hashtag LOTR babes. Do not fear me, pet shop elf. Hide not behind the lamb ears and tripe jerky. I will rescue you from your dawdling. And we will find respite in a cafe that sells a really nice hemp milk. Soon, my pet shop elf. Soon. I will catch you in the rye. Until then, do not comply.